We are back.
We're back.
We're back. It's me, Cat Angus. Jeevan Brar is here. Are you ready to talk about some television, Jeevan?
I am. It's been far too long.
I know. 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks.
How did I go 2 weeks without talking about television?
And it was sweeps, too.
It was the beginning of sweeps, yeah. To be fair. Now, first, we need to talk about the best episode of Breaking Bad ever, and possibly one of the best episodes of television ever.
Yes.
It was called 1 Minute, and not only was it a brilliant character piece for both Hank by Dean Norris and Jesse Aaron Paul,
yeah,
but it was a balls-out, action-packed adventure.
I was on the edge of my seat.
Literally. Let's save the character bit for the end, right. But that final few minutes where the brothers are coming after Hank and he knows somebody is coming and you're just sitting there staring at the clock. I literally had my hands covering my mouth the entire scene, and my leg was, like, shaking nervously, and every few minutes I would just go,
because you know it could end at any time, and it would.
And they were setting up the entire episode for Hank to die, which clearly was on purpose to make us think that they were going to go this cliched route. Like, look, everything's going better for Hank.
And we've been worried about Hank all season.
All season. So, obviously, the whole point was we were supposed to think he was going to die, but apparently we and the cousins underestimated just how bad
he kicked ass.
He kicked ass.
He kicked twin ass.
That was a great scene, like, tense, suspenseful, kick ass, and I'm surprised the cousins went out so soon in the season.
We know that one is dead, obviously.
Yeah,
but
the other one is out of commission enough that I don't think he'll be a problem.
Okay.
At the very least, he'll be in jail for a while.
He probably won't even talk.
He won't talk. Not at all. But really, this was Dean Norris's episode.
It was.
Aaron Paul had a couple of really good scenes.
It was Emmy-worthy, I think.
Well, yeah. At the bottom of those scenes should sort of just said, for your consideration. But in my opinion, while the Emmy voters probably won't agree because they love big, emotional scenes, Dean Norris... This was great for Dean Norris because this entire episode was about Hank quietly coming to, well, not at first, not very quietly as he beats Jesse to a pulp.
No.
But after that, it was sort of his quiet realization that he needs to be the good guy no matter how hard that is.
Yeah.
And that he has become, he is on his way to becoming a monster and he doesn't want to see that happen. Whereas Walt doesn't care what happens to him as long as he gets what he wants.
Which is now what exactly?
Power and self-respect, which is directly tied into the power. That's right. How he gets it. But the scene of Dean Norris explaining to his wife what has happened to him and how he doesn't know what's next, but he knows it needs to be different. Great work by Norris, broke my heart.
Yeah.
And I didn't even like Hank at the start, and now he's one of my favorite characters, if not the best character on the show. Likeability-wise,
yeah. He hasn't done anything wrong, has he? He hasn't, you know...
Well, he beat Jesse up, and he beat some other guys up.
But it's understandable why he beat Jesse up. I mean, he thought that his wife was dead.
Well, yes, from a character standpoint, yes, it is understandable, and I don't think we could really hold it against him. But I'm just saying, job-wise, you're not allowed to just go around beating people up. So, Jeevan, what did you think of Aaron Paul's two big scenes in the hospital?
They're very good. When he tells Walt that he's going to make Hank's life miserable, I could kind of see that he possibly wanted Walt to make everything better.
Really? You thought that he was trying to manipulate Walt?
Yeah.
I disagree.
You disagree?
No, I disagree. I think that this was Jesse realizing just how crap his life had become, and I would use a much stronger word, but this is a family podcast, folks. And that he wanted to make somebody feel as horrible and broken down and just awful as he does. And maybe, obviously, in the long run, that's not something you actually want to do to somebody.
No.
But in that moment, he just wanted somebody else to feel the way that he does. And he saw, and this was him expressing how badly he wanted to do this to Hank because he didn't want to be alone in his pain. But you saw it differently.
I think you're absolutely right now.
Not standing by your convictions.
I'm going to do 180 now.
No.
I probably took it the wrong way then.
I think you did. I think you are wrong on everything. And clearly you should be listening to me a lot more.
You are the authority now.
I am. Now, the second scene where I think Jesse is a little bit more in touch with his pain than he was earlier.
He's not even taking his medication.
He's not taking his medication, and he is expressing to Walt just how much worse his life has gotten since meeting Walt, which, again, incredibly powerful scene. He's going to submit it. Aaron Paul has to submit this for the Emmys. But I also loved it because it was really the first time that Walt could not avoid the consequences of his actions. Like, with the plane crash, he's been able to sort of rationalize it away that it was not really his fault. But with this, there's nowhere he can run. This guy is saying specifically, this is your fault, this is what you have done to me, and you've ruined my life, and Walt has nowhere to go. And it's kind of a slight turning point for Walt where he realizes that Jesse, as much as Hank is his family, Jesse is also his family, and that he has to look after both of them somehow.
I completely agree. Jesse up until then was, you know, nobody. That's what, you know, Walt had the impression. That's what the viewers had. And I think it also took this for the viewers to kind of, you know, between Jesse and Walt, Jesse's the good guy now.
Or the better guy.
The better guy. Yeah, no one's a good guy. It's Breaking Bad, after all. Mm-hmm. But the better guy. And hopefully he could bring Walt back down to, you know, realize this isn't right.
I'm not sure that can happen to Walt, at least not for at least another season or two.
Okay.
I don't think Walt is the kind of guy who would ever be willing to be brought down in this way. He wants power no matter what. Obviously, he realizes he has family and he cares about people, but I think he will still try to rationalize as much as possible until he is actually confronted with every single thing he's done, and there's no way for him to hide from it.
But what is he looking for now? I mean,
same thing he's always been looking for. He wants to feel good about himself by being powerful no matter what it takes.
Okay.
But great episode. Fantastic work by Norris and Paul. I hope they both get Emmy nominations. I have a feeling only Aaron Paul will get one because his scenes were the more obviously dramatic.
Right.
But with any luck, Dean Norris will get one, and he would deserve it.
Who do you think warned Hank? Do you think it was...
Oh, it has to be Gus.
Yeah.
There's no... I think Gus wanted the cousins out of the way, and he knew that if they went after Hank, there was a chance that he could hold his own against them.
Did you think... I mean, I had no idea that... I mean, I wanted Hank to win,
mm-hmm.
but I had no idea he could actually win against the cousins. They were just too powerful.
Well, it was luck, and it was Hank being great.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if the cousin had not dropped that bullet, Hank would be dead now. And if it weren't for the cousins, that cousin's, his own sense of pride to go back and get the axe, he would have won anyway.
Yeah.
So, great episode. I cannot wait to see what happens next. I can't believe we're only halfway through the season.
Where do you think they're going to go?
I don't even want to speculate. I enjoy it a lot more when I have no idea and they shock the crap out of me.
Right.
So, well done. And if this show does not win, well, Mad Men will probably take best drama series again, which it will probably deserve, but I kind of hope Breaking Bad takes it away from them this year. Now on to a show that has zero chance of winning any Emmys, nor should it win any Emmys, Gossip Girl. God, I hate this show, and I can't stop watching.
It's so boring. I mean, the adult storylines are much more interesting than the kid ones.
And even that I find boring. Like, oh, we're married. We love each other. Like, we're lying to each other all the time.
Because that's what married
people
do.
I'm cheating on you. No, it turns out I have cancer. Here's my ex-husband. Oh, I'm cheating on you again. What? I don't care about
them. And Lily doesn't know she's taking antibiotics?
Yeah, I'm not I don't care. The only part that interests me about the adults right now is that Billy Baldwin is on Gossip Girl. But if you were only listening to Gossip Girl, it sounds like Alec Baldwin.
They sound so much alike.
Exactly alike. This shouldn't be a surprise because they are related. But
they
I don't sound like my sister. We have very different voices. And Alec Baldwin, Billy Baldwin, exactly alike. And I was very weirded out when I heard Gossip Girl on the television, and I apparently thought Alec Baldwin had, was really slumming it. But no, it turns out that Billy Baldwin woke me up. Yeah. Turns out just Billy Baldwin needed some money.
Yeah.
I mean, now Chuck and Blair are broken up, which would be good if they weren't still going through the mopey post-breakup period. Once they're over it and back to their sort of scheming, snarky selves, this will be fine. While they were together, they were kind of boring, so I was not against them breaking up.
Yeah.
I just need them to get past this part where they're all sad about it. Just get over it, start being mean to people again, and I will care.
Nate and Serena, another boring couple.
Uh-huh.
Nothing's going on with them. Oh, no, little Jay's trying to, you know, steal Nate away.
Yeah, as if not little Jay happen. Has a chance of doing anything.
Not with those raccoon eyes.
Yeah, and not with her unwashed hair extensions greasing all over the place. But we're missing, of course, the most boring couple of them all.
Dan and Vanessa
arguing over who gets to go to the Tisch School of the Arts.
Get over it, people.
You don't always get everything you want, no. Dan. I mean, I know you're a genius who was published in the New Yorker.
Oh, 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, 2 seasons ago. Maybe if you didn't spend all your time being all righteous and judgy of people, you might be a good writer.
Yeah.
Don't care about their relationship, but at least they're together, so when they're seen, like, when either of them are on screen, I can just turn it off and know I don't have to deal with Dan or Vanessa.
You know nothing's gonna happen.
Because nothing's gonna happen, and they don't even interact with the rest of the cast anymore. Because who would want to interact with them? Nobody.
No.
Next season, Taylor Momsen will no longer be on the show, because she wants to tour with her band.
She has a band?
Oh, yes, she does. They're called The Pretty Reckless. And so the writers are writing Little Jay off the show.
For the entire season, or just for...
For at least a while. I think she said that she's pretty much done with the show completely. Will she die? Will she just move to Paris and become a fashion designer? Does it matter as long as she's gone?
Can she leave now?
Yeah. I mean, really, the makeup industry is going through a severe black eyeliner drought because of her. And maybe if she goes away, we can finally get some of that for ourselves, especially you, Jeevan.
I just can't wait.
I know.
But Georgina Sparks is set to make a return.
Michelle Trachtenberg is coming back, which is very exciting. She is the only interesting character this show ever has.
They should just keep her. I don't care if she's on NBC's Mercy or Trauma.
Who does care if she's on that show? Does anybody watch that show?
Are Mercy and Trauma the same show?
Well, they're both pretty traumatic.
Well, one has the beak.
Oh, the beak. But then also I'm hoping that Taylor Momsen's exit from the show means that we will get more of Eric and his really cute boyfriend, Elliot. Those are the only two characters on Gossip Girl I still like.
Elliot was just introduced.
I know, but he's adorable, and I like Eric, and I like it when he has a cute boyfriend. And if the show was entirely about them, I would still totally be into the show. But I don't care about Gossip Girl anymore. Don't care.
They don't even want to know who she is.
They don't care. And now Blair is now transferring to Columbia. Because Chuck applied for her in secret.
But didn't she sign the lease for the other apartment?
No, she didn't sign the lease, luckily, because now she doesn't have to slum it with those awful NYU students. Now she gets to go back to being her usual snobby, horrible self, which, admittedly, I kind of love. So maybe that'll turn out well. I don't know. Gossip Girl really needs to step it up with the intrigue and the mystery and the conniving.
Josh Schwartz is spending all his time on Chuck. Making that awesome, and then Gossip Girl.
If you had to spend time on either one of those, I'd probably pick Chuck as well. Yeah, so basically, Gossip Girl, really boring, which is really too bad, because the first season was amazing, and I think, as much as I dislike Taylor Momsen, I think she's making the smart choice by getting out.
Yeah, she's jumping ship.
Yeah, this is a good idea for her, and I can't believe Taylor Momsen had a good idea. Who could have suspected it, Jeevan?
No, not Little Jay.
I know. Who knew? Well, it's last time once again, and here's Jen McDonald with me.
Hi.
Now, this week's episode was crazy bananas.
It was very sad. I cried.
It was very sad. I did cry.
Yep.
The thing is, okay, I loved this episode. I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Me too.
But I still had so many problems with what happened.
Yeah, there were some plot issues that I just didn't understand at all. Like, okay, the whole plane thing, why exactly didn't Locke just kill them, just get them on the plane and have it explode? Why did they have to go to the sub? And then the whole, like, they get to the sub, the only reason that they found the bomb, which wouldn't have exploded had they not done anything, is because Jack had to go into his backpack for Kate. If Kate wasn't shot, he would have, no one would have looked in the damn backpack.
Yeah, that's it, like, as manipulative and evil as Smokey is, I'm not sure he could have...
Can he predict the future that she's going to get shot?
I'm not sure that he can. Yeah. Clearly he can't, but... No. So that was a little convoluted, and obviously what everybody's talking about are the three, possibly four big deaths.
I think four is a safe... I think there's no way.
There's no way Lapidus got out of there.
Agreed.
Which is too bad, because I understand that he wasn't really on the level of character that gets a big death, and it's not like he had a huge character arc. He was just there and was cool.
Yep.
But at the same time, it would have been nice just to maybe just show his floating hand.
It's true.
A little bit. But, like, the Jin and Sun death, the scene, very sweet. I cried. But the whole time, I didn't understand why Sun didn't say, Jin, you have to go raise our daughter.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't bug me as much. I thought that they kind of resolved the issue with that really quick scene before when it's like, oh, she's with your mom.
Yeah, but I know. That's not the same. He's never met his daughter.
Agreed.
And I think, like, I understand that, like, they'll never leave each other again. These people are soulmates, and I understand the poetry of having them die together.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there would also be a kind of symmetry to then Sun dying and Jin going back to raise his daughter.
Yeah, and it's not like the daughter's going to ever find out that their parents died. Yeah. Their parents died heroically. She'll They're going to have no idea.
No idea what happened to them.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I kind of, for me, we've been complaining so much about nothing happening that I kind of let that go because so much happened.
Yes.
And I think that before, like, I would have been really pissed if nobody... Like, no main characters died in this season. Like, people have to die. And I thought it was a really, really beautiful scene and really poetic. And
if it had not been for their daughter, that would have been a perfect scene. Just that bit, just...
And I think the whole daughter thing...
Held me
back. Them having a kid kind of, put them in a corner.
It just seemed like the writers kind of got to the... Like, they brought in the daughter at a point where the plot made sense. And now, two seasons later...
They
it didn't really make sense.
They
wish they hadn't done that.
Yeah. And then the other thing, I know you and I disagree on this. I really liked the way Saeed died because I was so, I've been so sick of him this season. But, you know, the thing is, for six seasons, like for five out of those six seasons, he's been one of my favorite characters. So I'm glad that he had like a moment of redemption and got to die, you know, in a really honorable, good way.
I agree. It's not that I disliked how he died. I just wish we had had more with his character this season. Because the whole season, and I understand that this is by design, is that you're not really supposed to understand what's going on inside him.
Right.
And clearly, when he talked to Desmond in the well, Desmond sort of brought him back over to the side of good.
Yeah.
But we didn't actually see that part. And again, by design, so we don't know what's going on inside Saeed. So when he does finally do the good thing and he tells Jack that Desmond's still alive, you realize, oh, he's a good guy now.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to see any of that. And I feel like Naveen Andrews was wasted just for the sake of keeping this plot a secret.
Agreed. He totally wasted the season. But I'm glad that he had that one shining moment.
I agree, but he
snapped out of the zombie thing.
Like you said, Saeed's been one of my favorite characters, and I wanted to see Saeed himself have this revelation, not just see the effect, the conclusion of it.
Speaking of revelations, there is no doubt in anybody's mind now that Unlock, or Fake Lock, or whatever we're calling him, is a bad guy. Bad guy.
Did we need that confirmation?
No, I think we did.
Snapping guys' necks, he was shooting people.
Agreed, but I think that what we were all, I was under the assumption that he would help the candidates if it benefited him. Like, he would, if he needed, like, my thought was that he needed them to get off the island. In order for him to get off the island, he needed them to come with him. That was, like, everything, which is what he's been saying, everything that he said in this past season is now, exposed. It's a complete lie. Like, he did not need them to do anything but die.
Because as the smoke monster, like, once they're dead, he probably doesn't need a sub or a plane to get anywhere.
Exactly. They're all candidates. They're the only thing keeping him on the island. If they die, whoever the candidate is, which we're probably assuming Jack at this point, then he can probably do whatever the hell he wants, including get off the island.
Now, I have to say, as much as I understand that now Smokey is pure evil, I'm kind of disappointed with that. And I realize that, like, light, dark, good, evil has been a theme for the whole show.
Yep.
But I would have liked it a lot more if it then turned out that saying, no, there is no just light and dark.
Shades of gray.
There are shades of gray. And Smokey is not a good thing, but he's not bad. He just understands this better, whereas Jacob is this rigid, good person who has no flexibility. And I would have...
That's what it was leading up to, because Jacob, even though we always knew he was the light and the good, has also made some really selfish decisions in order to keep his island. So, yeah, it kind of seemed like he was a good guy with, you know, a bit of selfishness and doing what, you know, benefited him. But this is just like, no...
Now we know there are no gray areas in life. You're either good or bad.
At least in last life. Okay, so let's talk about The Flash sideways. Because I I'm a big Jack fan. Shocking.
I'm actually liking Jack a lot more this season.
He still did, even this episode, he did the whole, like, I need to save everybody thing. But he did it with such humility. That whole exchange that he had with Locke at the end about, like, you need to let go.
So you can
I do too. You need to go first. Like, I thought that was a huge thing for him.
Yeah, there were no big, like, oh my gosh, this world is fake revelations. But there were little hints of it.
And he was cluing in. Like, when he met, what, like, five people now? It's like Desmond, he saw Charlie, Bernard. Okay, what do you think about Bernard? Like, he seemed to know what was going on.
Or at least he sort of maybe has a... feeling there's more to life than this.
Yes.
There are people you meet in real life who have this weird sense of calm because they're so sure that there's something more beyond
that. And they don't freak out over coincidences. Yeah. They're like, oh, well, of course you've already met five people on the same plane as us. Sure.
In real life, I hate those people, but on the show, I'm like, yeah, Bernard, you know what's happening.
You're a wise man, Bernard. And the other thing with Claire getting the jewelry box, which
very
played
sweet.
Catch a Falling Star.
And then, of course, both of them looked in the mirror, which is the theme.
Everyone's looking at the reflection this season. I don't know what that means, but it's pretty.
Yeah, it was very, like, there were no big things in The Flash sideways to show that thing, like, this world is going to be destroyed or will be the new reality.
Yeah.
But it was still a nice story.
One thing
close to the end, there's a little bit of anxiety just on my part, but I am willing to hold off judgment.
Agreed. One thing I didn't love about The Flash sideways is, like, we just had our hearts ripped out from Sun and Jin dying, and then you see Jin in the hallway, and it kind of, to me, seems like, oh, maybe they're not really dead, they'll be alive in The Flash sideways, and I'm going to be really, really disappointed if that's what happens.
I think that was the whole point, to be like, these characters may be dead, but you'll still see these characters in another way.
No, it's the hero syndrome. Nobody ever really dies. Someone, you, like, die, kill somebody, and then that's it, they're dead.
Well, I mean, on the writer's part, this is kind of smart, because they can kill off whoever they want and still keep the actors around.
It's cheap. It's a cheap trick, and it's playing with their emotions, and I don't like it.
As we saw in The Flash sideways, Sun's fine, their baby's fine, Jin, they're in love, everything's great, which it's great unless they have to destroy this universe and still be dead, and then their daughter is still an orphan.
Which I makes me sound like a heartless person. I kind of hope that they do.
Story-wise, that's much better.
So, one of the other things that everyone seems to be talking about, and I'm not really sure why everyone has this theory, but this episode made a lot of people think that Widmore and Locke were working together.
Really?
Yeah. That, I know, it's... Like, Doc Jensen mentioned it in his EW recap, and then my brother said that, and everyone I've talked to has been like, yeah, they're totally working together, right? I'm like, I don't know where that comes from, but if that were true, that kind of changes
everything. That would
everything.
Be interesting. I hope that's not true.
I just really want to know what the heck Widmore's intentions
are.
We know.
He is now the most mysterious character on the show.
And Desmond.
And Desmond, obviously.
The whole time everything was happening with the candidates, I kept thinking, what would have happened if Desmond was there? Like, how would that have changed things? So, I'm really hoping that we get some explanation, and maybe we will next week, because apparently none of the main candidates are in this next week's episode.
Oh.
They're in a flashback, but it's all about Allison Janning is guest starring.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing...
I think there was a brief image in the next week that showed Jacob and the Man in Black sitting across each other on what appeared to be a chess set, but I might be wrong.
Or what were they playing? Backgammon in the first
episode?
Backgammon,
it might be
with,
that.
Like,
so maybe it's a flashback just to show exactly how this whole island came to be.
Because remember that first season where Walt and Locke were playing the game and he was like, white is light, which, you know, actually kind of makes it seem like they knew what they were talking about all along for six seasons. They knew one aspect and everything else they were like...
They just knew their general theme.
Yep, exactly.
So what do you think of Saeed's claim, it's going to be you, Jack?
I think that means that Jack is going to be the new Jacob.
Jack is really the only one willing to fully accept what's happening on the island
now. And I also find that when he's on the island, he makes what I used to think... were extreme leaps of logic, where now maybe it's because he's kind of imbued with this wisdom that he doesn't really know. Like the whole, if we remove the wires, that is what Jacob, or that's what Locke wants. Like, how did he get there?
I love this.
I loved it too. And also with the whole dynamite thing, the dynamite's not going to blow up because Locke can't actually kill us. We have to kill ourselves. Like, I love that he made that jump. It's obviously the right it's the right response. But where is he getting this wisdom from? Like,
I don't know. I love this Jack. I hope this Jack continues, and I hope the show ends with Jack and Smokey as Locke sort of battling together for the rest of eternity.
And Kate did. I could like hear you cheering from across the city when Kate got shot.
See, no, because she just got shot in the shoulder, and I went, "Oh,
that wasn't a kill shot."
Damn it.
Maybe next time. You never know.
Fingers crossed.
There you go. Keep thinking positive.
So that does it for this edition of the TV Casualty Podcast. Check out my blog at dose.ca/TV Casualty, or check out Jeevan's blog at dose.ca/watercooler. See you next week.